Well, again, greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just such a blessing. We were just talking there a little about the demands that people put on us sometimes. Though they are ungodly demands. Godly demands are obtainable. Godly demands are no more than what's required of us. Humanly demands exceed godly demands. They bring a burden. Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly. Take my yoke upon you." My yoke is easy and my burden light. Why? Because His demands aren't man's demands. God knows what we can do and what we cannot do. And He expects perfection in what we can do, as opposed to the perfection that man would demand of us. And that's just a blessing to think about that this morning. We sing this last song, Eternity, Eternity. And the theme of what I want to talk about this morning goes along that line, Eternity, Eternity. The song asks the question, where will you spend eternity? I want to change that just a little bit. What will you be in eternity? What will you be in eternity? We oftentimes wind up playing defense with the theologians. Whenever offense is so much easier, it's so much less of a burden to play offense. You're getting an opportunity to score against your opponent. When you're defending, you're at risk from your opponent. You're defending what you have against your opponent. But when you're on the offense, they have to defend things. And the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's when we're on the offense. That's not our defense. The gates of hell won't stand against the church when it's on offense. It's not the gates of heaven that he quotes there. He says the gates of hell will not stand against our offense. I want to bring this into, try to make this, just pray for me that I can just keep this as simple and that it just helps our minds to simply understand what's going on in this world. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. I've used this verse quite a lot. And I think it's one we ought to use quite a lot. Because it, on the offense, just cuts in pieces a lot of the things that the world and modern Christianity would throw against us with their excuses, with their theologies, and with all those other things. Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. One of the most deceitful doctrines that's in the world today is that of reincarnation. Reincarnation. You know why I say that's deceitful today? Whenever you hear the word reincarnation, you probably think, well, that's something they believe over in India. Or that's something they believe, that's one of those Mid-Eastern religions where you die as a man, and depending upon how good you were in this world, you might come back as a cow next time. Or you might come back as a little bitty ant next time, depending on how you lived. You might come back as a worm if you've been bad. But that's not the reincarnation I'm talking about. I'm talking about the false deception of you, after you die, being how you are, being reincarnated into someone better. You being reincarnated into a saint. You're just an old sinner and you're just going to be a sinner all your life. I'm just saved. And you have a belief, whether you would ever say it or not, but what you're saying is that after you die, you're going to be reincarnated into heaven as a saint. That's a lie. But that's what Christianity believes today. And it's a lie. What will you be in eternity? If you're unjust, you'll be unjust still. If you're filthy, you'll be filthy still. If you're righteous, you'll be righteous still. And if you're holy, you'll be holy still. This is some of the last words that our Lord gave in the Scriptures. Some of the last counsel that He gave to Brother John as He revealed Himself in the book of Revelation. Don't be deceived by your theology, by how you can figure out how you can be saved, or what you have to believe. You're either filthy or you're holy. You're unjust or you're righteous. Not in your own eyes, by this book that we're going to be judged by. These laws that are given in the book, these rules, these guidances, these things that teach us and instruct us are given to us not to show that you cannot be godly. You know, you would think if you listen to the theologians today and the Bible teachers, and everybody's a theologian, let me just throw that out. And I just about would dare say you're either a Christian or you're a theologian. Because if you're following the majority of the teachings in any religion today, most people are theologians instead of followers. And you're not a Christian unless you're a follower. You can have it figured out from A to Z and not be a Christian. A Christian is a follower of Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. And if you're not following Christ according to His Word, you are not a follower of Christ. You're not a Christian. Theologian would have us believe that the purpose of the law was to show you that you can't be holy. That's absurd. What kind of God do they think they serve? How ungodly, how human-like to be able to put demands on someone that are unobtainable. That's ungodly. God gives us instructions. The law is given as an instructor to bring us to Christ. Not as an example that we can never obtain to what He wants us to be. An instructor teaches us, not that we're bad and we can never obtain. And that's the way that verse is taken in Galatians, that the law is given as an instructor to bring us to Christ. They use it that it's just to show us how humble we are that we can never obtain to it. And so we just have to bow ourselves as being a wicked sinner. And that's the only way that we can accept Christ. I don't know of any instructor that's trying to teach you something that backwards. Some of the children are taking art classes where they're just learning to draw some simple pictures. Is the purpose of that art class to show you that you can never be an artist? That you can never draw a good picture? Is that the purpose? No. An instructor is trying to show you how you can do something. Not how miserable of a failure you are. Why would you take the second class? How foolish. The Word of God is not just to show you how miserable a sinner you are and you'll always be. It's instructions to show us that you can be and how you can be what God wants you to be. The way you die is what you're going to be in eternity. You have the opportunity now to make yourself what God wants you to be. To allow Him to help you, to instruct you, to teach you, to guide you into what He wants you to be. And He doesn't put an ungodly requirement upon you, a humanistic type of perfection upon you, of demands that you can never obtain to. He wants you to be holy and righteous and godly. And if you won't be, you'll be filthy and sinful and ungodly and wicked, and you'll die that way, and you won't be reincarnated into something holy all of a sudden when you die. You're given the opportunity with your children to train them into something godly. You're given the opportunity to build them . What good is it going to do for you just to build them into something that's only fit for this earth? Teach them. Instruct them. Build men. Build women. Work on yourself. Weeds just grow. Fruit has to be cultivated. Weeds just grow. Anybody can grow weeds because you don't have to do one thing. Weeds won't enter heaven. You will be what you are now. You will be what you are now. You'll have a different body. And you might not face the same temptations that you do now. But you'll be what you are. Nothing's going to make you any different. If you're stubborn now, you know what? You're going to be stubborn in heaven or in hell. If you're a liar now, you know what? You're going to be a liar in hell. If you're a thief now, you're going to be a thief in hell. If you're unforgiving now, cantankerous, you're going to be unforgiving in hell. You're going to be cantankerous in hell. There ain't nothing going to change you after you die. If you got put in a body today, a brand new body, and put in a perfect place, who's still driving the body? If you can't drive an old clunker BMW that's all beat up, you're not going to drive a Rolls Royce any better. If you crash into stuff, if you pop the clutch, if you run into things all the time, if you're running in the ditch with your old Volkswagen, if someone got you a brand new car, you know how you drive it? You're not going to be made a better driver just because you got a new car. You're going to be what you are. Listen to the Beatitudes. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who want to be poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that hope in eternity that they will be poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that would like to mourn, because they will be comforted. Blessed are those that would love to be meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Boy, these are beautiful verses, aren't they? Blessed are they which would love to hunger after thirst and after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What a splendid thing that we've got. Aren't these beautiful verses? Blessed are those that will just want to be merciful. Blessed are those who hope to be merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who can't obtain merciful because they're unmerciful, for they shall have mercy. Isn't that wonderful how this thing reads? Blessed are those that want to have a pure heart. Blessed are those that would just love to have a pure heart, for they shall see God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I want to have a pure heart, so I'm going to see God. I know I can never have one. I'm a sinner. But I want one real bad, so I'm going to see God. Boy, I'm glad I'm a theologian. Blessed are those that just want to have peace, want to be peacemakers. What do you think? Compare this with your theology. Compare this with your theology. And I hope you was reading along or at least know these verses well enough to might have caught my mistakes. You know, the sad thing is, that you point this out, and it ain't going to change hardly anybody's theology. Who's going to go home today and determine to be pure in heart? Who's going to go home today and determine to be meek? Who's going to go home today and begin instructing not only myself, but my family and my children to be meek? To be pure in heart. Who's going to go home and determine to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Fruit has to be cultivated. Weeds will just grow. And if you determine you can't grow fruit and you're just an old dirty weed, well, you just take your old dirty weed and go right to hell. Because that's not what the book is teaching. That's not what Jesus came to teach us. He came to show us the way to heaven. The world says they're offended whenever we try to instruct them into the truth. Your message offends me. Well, your sin offends God. And it's His heaven that you're going to have to fit into. He's got a place for those who want to be sinners all of their lives. He's got a place. He don't want you to go there. But you cannot go to heaven because you're not going to pollute it with your filthiness. Weigh that with all of your theology. These precious promises. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's who they are. They're content with what they have. They're not going to be looking out their window in heaven wishing I could have that house over there. They're not going to be in heaven looking out their window wishing they could break up part of their neighbor's sidewalk and putting it in their vault. They're happy and content to have nothing here. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're happy with nothing? Here, have everything. He can give you everything because you're happy with nothing. You'll fit in heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn. They can be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to win all the battles. But it's for those who are the meek, not for those who want to be. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the Father's will." He hungered and he thirsted, not for the things of this earth, but for righteousness. He was filled and will be filled, and only those who are hungering for it now will have it in heaven, in eternity. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Pick out one of these a week and work on them in your life. Cultivate them. Put them into practice. What will you be in eternity? You'll be what you cultivated on this earth. You ought to be an old dirty, filthy sinner? Go right ahead. You want to fit into heaven? Cultivate these things that are going to be there. You will be what you are now. God is waiting on you. He'll help you. He's waiting to help you. He's trying to instruct you. He's trying to teach you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Nothing's going to make you pure in heart unless you want to be pure in heart. Nothing after you die is going to cause you to have a pure heart. if you've got a filthy one now. How hard is that to understand? Why is that so hard for us to get through our minds? Why can't we see clearly that all of the theology that we dream up is not going to change this? And it's not going to change you. This is what's real. This is what's real. Being is what's real. Not pretending you know all the answers. What you are is what's real. Not what you see as unobtainable. This book is for our instruction. It's signpost along the way of life that gives us instructions to teach us. The Holy Spirit is here to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly and godly in this world. Because if you don't live that way now, you won't do it in heaven. It's that simple. Don't let someone take a few Bible verses and throw them at you and try to prove your theology's all wrong. Are you poor in spirit? Are you meek? Is Jesus a liar? Did he just not understand theology? Is it just some big trick? Boy, I'll think of these commandments that they can never do. And that'll show them how bad they are. They'll just have to beg and grovel. How ungodly. How ungodly. He doesn't love begging and groveling. He doesn't love sacrifice and offerings. He loves people who want to be like Him. And are learning to be like Him, who hunger and thirst after Him, who love Him with all their heart and love their neighbor as theirself. If you're not going to love your neighbor here, you're not going to love them in heaven. At least one of you is not going to be in heaven. Did you ever think about that? If you can't get along here, one of you, at least, is not going to be there. Maybe both, but at least one of you won't be. Now, let me share a little secret with you. It won't be the one that doesn't love their neighbor. You're not going to start loving someone just because you've got a new body. That's going to have to happen now. There's going to have to be forgiveness, patience, meekness now. Or you'll hold it through eternity, but you won't hold it in heaven. What's going to make you start loving somebody you hate after you die? Someone hates someone and wants to get them out of their life. They want to kill them. Do you think they're going to love them after they kill them? No. Cultivate these good things now. Blessings. Hope that this is clear and simple. And if it don't match your theology, maybe your theology needs to change. Maybe you don't know it as well as you think you do. This is what we're going to be judged by. We're going to be judged by what we are. Pure and simple. Father, we come before you. We just want to thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for the instructions you give to us. Again, we just want to praise you in Jesus' name.